I'd like to thank both Derek and Jeff for their work on the computer. You see, if it's left up to me what happens, we can't ever get it going. But appreciate their work on it and Derek's work on recording all the DVDs. We've got a lot of requests for DVDs over the lectureship and the marriage series, and appreciate all of his hard work on that. And if you have further requests on either one of those, you need to let him know so that they can be made as he's making them and not have to go back and make a bunch after we get done making them. Now, if you're visiting with us, you've come in the middle of a series because we've been talking about some aspects of how to improve our marriages. These lessons have not been on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but have been dealing with the aspect of improving the marriages which we have so that they'll be what God wants them to be. We've got this week and next week we'll finish in talking about the section we're on now is talking about the different ways to say I love you. In other words, the way love speak, or as the originator of it designated, the love languages. And after we talk about those love languages and finish up with that next week, then the following week we will cover the aspect of separation, divorce, and the way that what God has to say about those things concerning marriage. As we began this particular lesson last week, we talked about the words of affirmation, the encouraging words that come along and that encourage us in our relationships. You did a good job on that. We're glad, you've done real well. You're improving so much. Words that encourage us from that aspect. Each one of the love languages, we're going to also show you that it is biblical, and certainly those words are biblical. Jesus himself pronounced, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And certainly that is words of affirmation, words that affirm and encourage the individual to go ahead in the things that they're doing, the life that they're living. We found also that the Apostle Paul, in writing the church at Thessalonica and other places, did the same thing as he confirmed them for their faithfulness and spoke to them about the good deeds that they had done. And so we see this frequently in the Bible, and it's a way of saying, I love you. Now, as we come to this morning, we're going to be talking about this additional way to say I love you, and it also is a biblical way. It's talked about frequently in the Bible, and it is the giving and the receiving of gifts. There are individuals that read I love you most frequently, but are easily because someone gives them something. Now, as we talk about giving and receiving a gift, we're talking about a universal language. It's almost known in every language and every race of people that a gift is saying, I care for you or I love you. I've had the opportunity to travel some, and then especially in the Ukraine and then also again in India, the idea of giving little gifts are very quickly given and received for the individual to say, I care for you, I have a great concern for you, I love you. One of the things that we used to do when we went to the Ukraine is we would carry a pocket full of little gifts to say to the people that we encountered, you know, that we care for you. And once we showed them that we loved them by giving them a little gift, a lot of times they were much more open to discuss the big gift, the gift of Jesus Christ for the saving of the soul. I can remember one time we were riding a bus, and as we were riding the bus, I picked out a little old pack of gum I had in my pocket, and a little old boy was riding the bus with his mother, and I couldn't speak the language, and I motioned to her, could I give the packet of gum to the little boy? And she said yes. So I gave the pack of gum to the little boy, and he just smiled all over. You know, right then I probably the best friend he had. And I thought, well, as conservative as few things they have, he'll probably make that pack of five sticks of gum last at least 10 days. He sat down on the floor and opened every one of those pieces of gum, stuffed them all in his mouth at one time. But you know, you made that friendship because that little gift, while it was had very little value to it, it said, I love you. And that is a most universal sign of love, is simply the giving of gifts in some way to one another. And so what we need to do is turn to the Bible for a few minutes and let's just learn a little bit about giving, because the Bible teaches us some great lessons concerning giving. The first lesson that it teaches us that in the aspect of giving, we need to learn to give without blowing the trumpet. We need to learn to give and be giving individuals without saying, look at what I've done. In Matthew 6, verses 1 through 3, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. In other words, when you give to help or to assist, don't do it for the aspect of being seen. Being seen is not the reason for the gift. The reason for the gift is the love of the individual. And so here he warns us from the start, don't get this out of kilter. In other words, if you take an act or a language of love and you misuse that act or language of love, then it becomes not a language of love, but it becomes a language of spite or hate or discontent. And so what the Bible says here is don't misuse this language of love. When you speak it, mean it. You give the alms for the purpose of helping the individual. And it says, otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou dost alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. In other words, it says, when you give these alms, you give it for this full purpose of love, and let it be nothing more than that. In other words, let that be the entirety of it. And so the purpose of giving gifts and receiving gifts is to demonstrate this aspect of love. And the Bible very much talks to us about this. Now, also, when we become giving people, we're going to find ourselves blessed in the same respect that we give. The Bible addresses this. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. He says the fact is, if you are a giving individual, you're going to find that return to you many times. Let's note the fact, we don't give because we want it returned. We give because of the love of God, the love of the individual. We give in our labor before God because of our love for God and His kingdom, not because of what we want returned. That which is being returned is just simply an extra to the giving process. It is just simply a basic law of God that if an individual is a giving person, that will be returned to them. You know, sometimes in the normal aspect of life, I see people, you know, they raise questions about a variety of things. And just some things that I've noticed. Sometimes individuals wonder why no less may be a concern or an aspect of love toward them. I got to watching this. You know, the individuals that express concern and love and seek after and call and check on individuals, you know what? They are the ones that receive back and 100-fold. Because they are the ones that are giving. And as they give, so it returns to them. They don't give because they want it returned to them. If they give, they give properly because they love. They're concerned about individuals. They want to show that concern to individuals. And again, as the Bible says, it just comes back bountifully. The same thing with God. The same thing in God's work. Those that labor in His work, willing to give in His work, they have that comes back to them. Matter of fact, if we are giving in the work of God, it will come back to us bountifully. It will come back to us more than we ever deserve. Because that's the nature of giving. And so he warns us in this aspect of giving to keep this biblical principle. Now also the purpose of the giving must be right. And here again he addresses this in the aspect of our giving to God, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Every man as he hath purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, if my giving is going to be done in the right way for me to have the benefit for it, it has to be done in the right way for the receiver of the gift to also have the right benefit for it. Now, if I give a gift because I feel forced to give a gift, I only take away my joy, but I take away the joy of the individual that is receiving the gift. If we give to God and we despise our gift, God has no joy in receiving the gift that we've set forth. And so here he has addressed us very plainly. If we give, don't give grudgingly. Don't give wishing that you hadn't given, or don't give wishing you didn't have to give. Don't give saying, I give because God tells me I have to. He says the gift here should be a gift that is a willing gift, a ready gift. And then he brings down the point that God loveth a cheerful giver. He wants this giver to be a planned giver. Go back in the text. For as he purposed in his heart, my thing should be a planned giving. I should determine beforehand that which I'm going to give. Therefore, my giving is not done out of a last minute thought. My giving is out of planned love. I love God, so I'm going to give this to God. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that we've lost this in our aspect of what we put in the collection plate. What we place in the collection plate should be purposed and should be readily, willfully, joyfully given. But my gift to God's not finished with that. It just starts there. And so God tells us here to be this type of giver, be the right kind of giver that he wants us to be. In this lesson, we're going to cover four short little things. We're going to talk about the definition of a gift. We're going to talk about a few things that will in understanding giving and receiving. We're going to talk about the gifts that might be liked by the mate. We're going to bring this back into our scope of marriage. And then we're going to talk about the giving of the greatest gift of all, and that is the gift of self. Now, as we look at this, if we look at the definition of a gift is an object that says to another person, I'm thinking of you. Matter of fact, a gift's kind of special thing. You give a gift, the person receives the gift. The gift says the person who was the giver was thinking about the person who was the receiver. That's what the gift says. Now, I'm not good at gift giving. And guess what type of love language my wife understands? And it's taken me 30-something years to learn that. But as the nature of the gift, once it is given, the gift continues to speak. It says to the individual that has received the gift, when they look at the gift, it says to them again, that person loves me. That person is concerned about me. That person gave me the gift. In other words, the gift says, I was thinking about you, and the receiver's looking at the gift, and the gift says to them, he was thinking about me. And it says this over and over and over again. Matter of fact, a gift is a memorial. It's a memorial that states the individual's love. You know, if we look at gifts, we think of the gift that is given to us, and actually we don't think about the gift. We're thinking about the giver of the gift. And that's the purpose of a gift. The gift is to remind us of the individual that actually brought the gift and gave us to the gift. So we look at the gift and we see the giver. We look at the gift and we think about the feelings of the giver. It's not about the gift at all. Now, let me warn both the giver and the receiver that if it comes down to being about the gift, you've not spoken love. It's not about the gift. It's about the memorial, the message, the statement that the gift makes and repeats and repeats and repeats. You know, we see this in different ways as we look at the gifts, because these gifts become very special to us. And matter of fact, a gift will keep a fond memory and keep the memory going and going and going. It'll make the individual remember the time. remember the feelings, remember the things that were said. They will even remember things because of the gift that the giver won't even think about. But that's the nature of the gift and the person that receives the gift. A gift is an object that has been received that can be enjoyed over and over and over again. It doesn't have to be expensive. That's our society. Matter of fact is, some of the gifts that become most precious are some of the gifts that probably have the least financial value to them. And, you know, sometimes it was like they fail to give because they don't think that they have the money or the finances to give. And what they're doing, they're looking at the wrong aspect of giving. They're looking at the dollar aspect of what they think has to be a, quote, great, wondrous gift. Remember, it's not the gift. It's what's in the mind of the giver and in the mind of the receiver that counts. And so this gift can be given, it can be enjoyed in a memory. You know, just look back at wedding rings. We have wedding rings that we give at the time of the marriage, and they live throughout a lifetime. And that wedding ring that's been given, it keeps saying over and over and over again, the individual loves me. A special anniversary gift will do the same thing. A birthday present will do the same thing. Or it could be a present that's used in the actual use of it. You know, something that is used daily. And maybe it's a little thing. Maybe somebody gave another individual an ink pen and they use that ink pen all the time. But they remember that individual every time they use the ink pen. And how many times does the receiver get enjoyment over explaining the gift? You ever see some of these women that wear their necklaces? And they'll walk in and say, "Oh, where did you get that?" And you know what goes on next? They enjoy the gift again. And again. And sometime years later, somebody's going to ask them, maybe it's 30 years after the gift was given, say, "Oh, is that new?" "No, I've had this for 30 years. And you know who gave it to me? You know why?" Over and over. Now, friends, if we have a mate that understands love by receiving gifts, and we don't give gifts, you know what? That mate has a big empty spot in their lives. And so these gifts can be used over and over again. And matter of fact is, in time, the couple will even sit down and sometimes, you know, go back and think about the gifts that have been given. You know, it's one of the interesting things of the 50th anniversary. Sometimes individuals will set out different gifts that they've received different years or got from each other over the years, and they can go back and they can tell you the story about each one of them. Enjoying it all over again. Now then, the value in the gift is not how much it cost. The value and the cost are two separate things. Now, if I had dared this morning, I would have brought a few things with us that the children have made. But you know, children make little gifts for us sometimes, and this teaches us great lessons about the value and the cost of an object. You ever have a grandchild bring you a dandelion? You know what the cost of a dandelion is? You'd love to get rid of every one of them, wouldn't you? You don't need those things in your lawn. But you know what a grandmother will do when that grandchild brings that dandelion, or a grandfather will do when that child brings that dandelion in? They'll go get a bowl or a little vase or a little object, put a little water in it, and they'll put that dandelion in that water. You know why? It's not the value of the dandelion. But there is a value to the gift that says, "Grandma, Grandpa, I love you." And so that gift, while it has very little overall value to it, it has a great value in what it says. You know, popsicle art, you know, used to they did a lot of these things. A handwritten note that says, Mom, I love you, or a handmade gift. How many times, one wall of our house, we've got all of these gifts that the kids brought us over the years that they made in school and their different artwork and things. And, you know, there's not any of them worth anything. And yet, if the house burnt, that's the one wall that couldn't be replaced. But the memories. And so these gifts have great value over a long period of time, and they do not have to be expensive. Matter of fact, they can be the most simple construction. I should have read years ago that Elaine spoke her love by giving because she used to make me all types of cards. I could go on a trip. I was raising funds to build a church building up in Wisconsin one year. And every time I went out, I'd go out for 2 weeks at a time and we wouldn't see each other. And I'd open up the bag. There would be these cards, homemade, handmade cards made out of construction paper. Couldn't afford anything else. In that bag. I've still got some of those cards stuffed away. Now, they had no value. But each little gift said in its way, I love you. A tacking note or just a flower that's picked on the side of the road. Or, you know, even a phone call in the middle of the day can be a gift. A lot of ways that we can give. And we can give without it costing very much. Now, you can buy gifts. You can buy gifts for special occasions. You can buy gifts for no reason at all, just simply say, I love you. You can buy a gift because you see a need that needs to be fulfilled. If you really want to have fun, buy a gift just for surprise. Just buy her a gift or him a gift because you want to give a gift. Don't have a reason. You know, we are so set in our society that a gift has to have an explanation. You know, the guy goes in a store and he buys his wife a gift and they say, well, why are you giving a gift? Is it a birthday? No, it's not a birthday. Is it her anniversary? No, it's not. What did you do? There's nothing wrong with gift giving just to say, I love you. And so we need to understand that we can give gifts for all types of ways like this. But gifts can also be found. They don't even have to be purchased. I think one of the things that Elaine likes the most out of all the gifts over the years was that we found a piece of driftwood. She liked that piece of driftwood. Matter of fact is, some of the times you come to our house, it's still tacked up on the side of the wall if it doesn't fall. It doesn't stay very well. But anyway, turtle shells or special coin. You can give gifts of the smallest value and they still say the same message. But see, we've gotten hung up in our materialistic society. Oh, by the way, let me say this, though. Let's be clear about it. If you're financially able to give a nice gift and you're a bum that won't do it, then you deserve whatever you get. But gifts don't have to be expensive. Whatever gift you give, you need to mean it. And you know, if you're a person that's not used to giving gifts, it comes hard. Matter of fact is, the giving gifts is really awkward to some people. You don't know how to do it. You don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to say and what to say. Just give the gift. Just start. Usually the rest of it will take care of itself. Anyway, so gifts can be delivered in a variety of ways. And, you know, one of the best ways in the gift, if it involves in the marriage aspect, deliver it yourself. Take the gift to her, take the gift to him. You know, it can be delivered by a carrier or a shipper. That's sometimes interesting. The wife runs to the door and says, well, what's UPS delivering here? You know, you play dumb. It can be delivered by pets. I've seen individuals that really love pets. They tie their gift on the pet and let the pet take the gift to the mate. And I've seen other individuals send it by friends, and that's a dangerous thing to do. Because there is a tendency for the gift receiver to love the individual that delivers the gift. So you need to be careful about who you send the gift with. I can remember back in college that there was a couple of fellows, and one didn't want to talk to the girl, so he'd send his gift by the other fellow. Well, guess who married her? Send gifts, take them yourself. Be careful about who you send them with. All right, but gifts can also be delivered to home, and sometimes they can be delivered to the workplaces. They can be placed on a car. They can be given it in all types of ways and things to do in gift giving. It doesn't have to always be the same. I mean, if you know where she works, send a gift to her at work. If you know where the car is going to be parked, put a gift on the car. Put a gift on the windshield. Tie a gift to the car handle. So she finds it when she comes to get back into the car. Now then, if you've never been a gift giver, you have to work at it. And you have to change your mind about money. That was my problem, and it's still my problem. Over the years, when you pinch pennies and you get used to pinching pennies, sometimes you can pinch those pennies so tight that you're married to someone that likes gifts, you're failing to say, I love you. It's not too expensive to break down and become a giver. Rarely are things so tight that we cannot give some of the simplest of gifts to one another. By the way, when you feel like everything's so tight that you can't afford to give a gift, start keeping track of where you spend your money. You know, there's a lot of places that we spend money that we don't have to spend money. A lot of places that we spend money that says nothing to anyone, when just a little bit would buy it. That might say, I love you for a lot of years. Okay, one should remember also that it doesn't have to be expensive, but they need to also remember that there are things that can't be obtained by money that can be obtained by simply being a gift giver. Now, if you have trouble picking a gift for the mate, I guess I would suggest, first of all, just look at what type of gifts they give. People that like to receive gifts often speak their love language by giving gifts, and you just look at the type of gifts they give and give back some type of gift that's in the same way, in the same nature. You know, look at special days and start out at special days just simply giving a gift. Ask the family members or friends what type of gift that she likes. Remember the dating years and go back to remembering the dating times and what kind of gifts you give then. You know, what happened to the gift-giving after the dating years? But then, let's come down to the biggest gift of all. There's no gift bigger and better than giving yourself. Now, this gift requires effort. You know, when there's a tragedy, and the mate is there for you, it's a great gift. Maybe a death in the family or serious illness. And I know some of you are frowning, but friends, I've been with a lot of families through these things. I have been with families where if the death was on her side of the family, he didn't show up. You know what? His presence there would have said one clear message. And it wouldn't have been to the individual that was in the casket at the death. It would have been to the mate, whose father, whose mother that it was. If that mate had simply been there with them. That's a valuable gift. But sometimes, because of these types of things, the other individual decides, well, they're not going to participate. What about family activities? Sometimes if it's her family having a get-together, maybe he won't show up. If it's his family having a get-together, maybe she won't go. And yet, these are the things that we can give, where we give ourselves. Maybe there are things with the other mate's family that are a little unpleasant, but yet my presence there says to that mate, I love you enough to be here. And I'm going to be here for you. Maybe it's a special gift or a special award or something. Maybe the mate is getting an award at their business, and they're having a big conference or something, and the award's going to be given, and the mate says, well, I'm not going. You know what their presence there says? I'm here for you because I love you. This is my gift to you. You know, there's no gift greater than giving oneself. It is the greatest gift of all. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, couple. My friend, if your mate is not a Christian, the greatest gift that you can give them is your righteous spiritual example before them every day of their lives. Because if that example goes out there every day, sooner or later they're going to see it. Sooner or later that mate might come to the conclusion that is so special to them, I am going to check it out. Let me just get a little more blunt. There are individuals in this auditorium that need to turn and look at their mates and say, thank you for the gift you've given me. Because you gave me yourself till you brought me to Christ. That's what 1 Peter 3 is talking about. And oh, that's a wonderful gift when an individual has given to that degree. And then in life, there's some other gifts that can be given. I did not know how much my mother loved my father until she took care of him when he couldn't take care of himself any longer. I went over and I begged. I said, Mom, go to nursing home. Take him. No, not as long as I'm standing. And not as long as I'm able. That's the giving of self. There's very, very few gifts that say I love you as much as that. Whether you're dealing with something in the physical handicap or you're dealing with something in a mental handicap, I have seen individuals, parents of mentally handicapped children that say, I love you to those children over and over and over again because, you know what? They sacrificed their lives to serve those children. That's love. That's the language of love. And that gets the language of giving down to a level that we need to understand it at. It's not just about giving things. It's about the full sacrifice of self. The completing of the relation. Because it's not about me. It's about you. And the relationship. So when we have fully given each other, we've given the greatest gift of all because we've given self. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Are you willing to die for your mate? That's a great demonstration of love. You want me to show you a greater one? Are you willing to live for your mate? Day by day, sacrificing for them. That's the example of giving in love. You know, we don't have to look biblically very far until we find that that's what the Bible talks about. For yet when you were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous one will one die, yet peradventure for good men some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave himself for us. Not when we were lovable. Look at the verse. When we were detestable in sin, he said, I love you, and died for me. Oh, what a great gift he's given. You know, if I took a gift to my wife, and she threw it back in my face and said, I don't want it, I'd be shattered. Jesus Christ has come to me and you, and he says, I die for you. And you can have the forgiveness of sin. Imagine this morning. What are you going to do with Jesus' gift? Someday, we'll stand face to face at his judgment seat. And we'll give an answer as to whether we received his gift or we rejected it. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Will you take my gift? I died to make it possible. Acts 20, verse 28, it's my blood that bought and purchased your sins. Will you take the gift as we stand and as we sing?